I want to go ahead and continue in the series that we kicked off 2 weeks ago that's titled Everyday Missionary. And I just want to give you a couple thoughts as to where this sermon series came from. It really came as a burden on my heart for the church at large, but really for our church to not get caught up in playing church or just a comfortable, self-seeking version of Christianity, but in a biblical Christianity where we live our lives in following Jesus's command as sent into the world to be his salt, to be light, to make disciples. You know what's interesting? At the end of each gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even right there in the beginning of the book of Acts, each one has this concluding moment where Jesus is commissioning his disciples and church to action, right? You'll find in Matthew 28, Jesus uses these two letters, G-O, go, right? He says, now you therefore go, and you go make disciples to all nations, baptizing and teaching. Mark 16, very similar. In Luke 24, very similar. In the Gospel of John, Jesus prays, as the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you. And so what is a missionary? It's this phrase, missio. It's where we get this English statement, sent one. A missionary is to be sent. And so what we're describing when we say everyday missionary is that for those who call Jesus Lord, for those who have put their faith in Christ, you are called to live sent. In Acts chapter 1, he gathers his disciples together, the ones that are left, and he says, now you're going to be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and he's going to clothe you with power from on high. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus expected us to live sent. I think that this quote from this pastor named David Platt is fitting for that statement. Here's what he says. He says, your entire life is a mission trip. Something about that statement hit me because as somebody who values mission trips, I do. I think if you get a chance to go on a mission trip cross-culturally or out of the country or out of the state, it's going to bless you. You're going to experience Jesus in very powerful ways. But can I just say, going on a mission trip is not the only time when you're called to live sent. Going next door is the time you're called to live sent. Amen. Going to work, going to your home. God has called us to live. I don't know of a greater mission field than Las Vegas. Right? And so if we're only living sent when we go on mission, then what are we doing right now? And I just believe that God has called us to live sent every day, everywhere. Finally, I just want to give one more reality statement reminder of what I shared a couple weeks ago that is sticking with my heart, which helped lead us into this series. Here's it. I'll put it up on the screen. We must strive for a more biblically informed Christianity as opposed to an Americanized Christianity. I think there's a ton of value and truth in this statement, and here's why I say it, and here's what I don't mean. What I'm not trying to do is shade or dishonor anything about America. That's not my posture. I'm grateful to live in our nation and the freedom that we have here in the USA. But what I am saying is we don't read the Bible from an Americanized view, right? We allow the Bible to shape the way we see America. Right? We don't allow the culture that we come from and the places that we live in create the way we are obedient to the Word of God. Rather, it's the Word of God that transforms all of us, and this is just happens to be where He's placed us. And so if we're not careful, we can start to Americanize our Christianity. What does that mean? Well, we put Amazon on Christianity. We drag Jesus into the cart, and we say, okay, we want a little bit of church with that. We want to go on Sunday, but only for an hour, and they better make it comfortable. And they better make it enough to fit my preferences. And we better do things my way. And if people look at me funny, then I'll look back at them funny. And then I'll blame them as to why I don't go back to church ever again. That's an Americanized view of Christianity. Why? Because here's what we like to do here. We like to do things our way on our time for our comfort. And we work hard at doing that. And I'm just telling you, if you've made Jesus Lord of your life, He doesn't move on your time. You have place that under his authority and under his leadership and under his kingship and under his direction. And I'm telling you, you don't have to look hard in the Bible to find out that he's called you to live sent. So you can't just say, yeah, I'm a Christian and I go to church, period. And that's the extent of my Christianity. No, Jesus calls you to so much more. But listen to this. In the calling you to so much more, there's so much more joy. There's so much more passion. There's so much more adventure to your faith than just doing a task. And I want to encourage you that Jesus has invited you to that co-mission where he goes with you. And there's still a big task ahead. And so I want to encourage you in this series. That is the theme, Everyday Missionary. And as we move into this next sermon, I want to title it this specific topic, My Story Matters. In fact, help me say that. Come on, this side of the room. Would you just say it with me? My story matters. That was solid, but let's see if the middle row can do better. Come on, say it with me. My story matters. I think this side's going to win right here. Come on, put it in the chat. Hey, come on, help me say it. Ready? My story matters. I like it. Hey, we need all the classroom participation right now. Let's go. My story matters. Yes, I love it. Let's clap. Yeah. Yeah. My story matters. If you're watching this online right now, live or in the future, listen, your story matters. If you're going to be an everyday missionary, if you're going to live sent, you have to know this, your story matters. The story that God is writing, the story that God is developing, the story that God is creating and curating in your life matters. And so we're going to look at a story here in the Bible. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. We're going to camp out in Mark chapter 5. And listen to me, church, don't tune out on this. We're going to read through 20 verses. That's a whole lot, okay? Anybody down for a whole lot of scripture? Let's just go ahead and hit the whole chunk. Now, normally, as a preacher of God's word, I like to do like two or three verses at a time and like sitting there slower than faster. But I want to go ahead and jump into all 20 verses and we'll pull out some application when it comes to your story matters. If you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
If you're hungry, say let's eat.
Let's eat.
Let's eat. Father, God, we came here to eat. We know man doesn't live off bread alone. Lord, we want to eat from your word today. So as we look to Mark chapter 5, as we look at this word from the word, I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to us here today for your glory and our joy. Continue to develop our stories, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 5, if you're there, say, I'm there.
There.
All right, good. We there. We got screens. We got words. Mark chapter 5. One of the best ways to read the Bible is by putting yourself in the story. I want you to use your imagination, use your eyes, use your heart, use your senses to try to go there with me now. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Bum, bum, bum. That's just how I read it in my head. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus, oh, help me finish that right there. Come on, verse 6. And when he saw Jesus, I love that right there. Something changed in this man's story. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion." I mean, that was my attempt, okay? At this demonic voice who answers Jesus' question. "My name is Legion, for we are many." The word legion means a multiple amount, a large amount of demonic forces are influencing this man. And he begged him, verse 10, he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. This is a very bizarre story. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. I love that description. Clothed and in his right mind. It says that they were afraid. Verse 16, those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and he began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So good. Mark chapter 5 is telling the story of a man who was in bondage, brokenness, literal chains that kept him from joy and passion and living and experiencing the life that was for him all along. And we find here in the story, this man is in a state of brokenness. And I just want to go ahead and walk briefly through his story. And I want to identify three key components that we can look at and think through our story through this lens when it comes to this topic of being an everyday missionary whose story matters. Point number one, your story is meaningful. I want you to understand when it comes to your story is meaningful. It has great meaning to it. We learn about this guy's story, at least the first part of his brokenness in verses 3-5. Let's look at it together. The text teaches us, we'll put it up on the screen. He lived among the tombs. That's his story. This man was hanging out with dead people. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, which means that at some point people tried to get a hold of him and tried to bind him up. In fact, they used chains. Verse 4, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. Notice the word often. This was a reoccurring activity, but he wrenched the chains apart. He had a demonic rage and force about him that broke through actual chains and shackles. He broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Can you picture him amongst the tombs? Can you picture him around the mountains? And can you picture his loud crying and shouting out as he would cut himself with stones? Until one day, Jesus, I don't know if he looked at his disciples and said this or not, but I imagine there was something where Jesus said, "I have a stop to make today." And I wonder if the disciples were like, "Where are we going?" Or maybe they've learned by now, Jesus is leading, we're following. And Jesus begins to approach the cemetery in the Gerasenes. And I wonder if the disciples were thinking, why are we entering into the cemetery graveyard at this time? And who is that guy with the chains hanging from him? And notice how Jesus is not fazed at all. He walks right up to him. And when he saw Jesus, what a powerful, meaningful moment in his story. Now, I just want to say right off the bat, today you might be reading this and you might be thinking, it's wild how much I relate to him. Now, I might not have shown it in public, but it's definitely been in private. You might say today, man, my story is messy. much like his. Or maybe like I've heard from others today as well, that you have cutting in your story and depression and darkness and brokenness. And it could be something that nobody knows about, or it could be something that more people know about, but it's messy. And I just want to say to you today, if you're in this place today, we're glad you're here. You're welcome in this place. We honor you today. And not only that, Jesus sees you. He says, come to me. In fact, Jesus says, no, I'm coming to you as well. And he walks right up to this man in his messiness. And if you have a messy story, it's meaningful. Now, on the other hand, you might say, I can't relate to this guy at all. In fact, my story is much more mundane. Let me go ahead and define the word mundane. Mundane means lacking interest or excitement, dull. You might say, honestly, my story, my testimony is quite dull. I don't have too much color in it. It just seems to be pretty mundane and bland. If you were to tell me today, my story is mundane, I would say your story is meaningful. Listen to me. Whether your story is messy or mundane, it's meaningful. Whether your story has all types of chapters of brokenness and pain, or whether your story jumps straight to Jesus really quickly and you've been walking with him since you can remember, can I just tell you, both stories are meaningful. Both stories, in fact, are powerful and hold much value to being an everyday missionary. We don't stop here, though. Let's continue to look at this story. Not only was his story meaningful, but his story was transformational. And I think it's important to know this second point, because some of us stop at meaningful. We stop at the point where we go, yeah, my story's messy, or my story's mundane, and it is meaningful, but we never make it to transformational. Can I tell you, for your story to be effective, like God wants it to be effective in your everyday missionary calling, you got to get to the transformation. In fact, nobody will ever believe a Jesus that's not real in your life. I don't know if that hit anybody. But if your Jesus that you're sharing has not transformed you, it's not going to move anybody else in a transforming way as well. Look at the transformation story of this individual. Mark chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Notice the transformation. The herdsman fled and told it in the city and around in the country. I love how the herdsmen became missionaries, right? Now, they were offended missionaries, because 2,000 of their pigs just ran off a cliff. And they're blaming Jesus because Jesus had cast these demons, which went into these pigs and caused a big old ruckus. And the herdsmen said, we're going to tell on you. And so they ran into the city and they started telling everybody about Jesus. So the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus. I like that phrase. And saw the demon-possessed man. I don't think that, you know, it's interesting because he's no longer demon-possessed. It says they saw the demon-possessed man. They saw this healed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. I think it was one of those like shocked, marveled afraid. Like, wait, what? Like, we know you. We remember you. We saw you on the news. We saw your viral clip of when you broke the chains. Like, we remember when you were in the mental hospital. We know your brothers and sisters. We know this dude. And now here he is, and he's got clothes on. And he's in his right mind. That's freedom right there. You know what that is? That's transformation. That's the transforming power of Jesus at work in the life of a sinner. That Jesus engages this demon-possessed man. With all of his cuts, with all of his cries, with all of his brokenness, Jesus, aren't you great that we have a Jesus, we have a God, we have a Savior who doesn't wait at the outskirts of the cemetery and says, make sure you get it right in there, clean yourself up, start living religious, and until you get it all figured out, then you can come out and then I'll meet you out here because I don't go in there. No, Jesus walks right in, walks right up to the individual and says, what's your name? And the demons go, whoa! Whoa, don't hurt us, Lord. Right? Jesus has all authority. in heaven and on earth, over all darkness and all demonic forces. And listen, even some of you right here, right now, might be carrying some demonic activity in your own life, and it's making you uncomfortable right now. And I just want you to know that Jesus wants to know you and your story. And he wants to bring transforming power, the same power that clothed this man and helped him have a renewed mindset, is available for us today as well. His story was meaningful and it was transformational. The power of the gospel at work in the life of a sinner not only forgives us and gives us great meaning, but it transforms us to live in a new way. This was his story. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 66, verse 16. Let's look at this together. Psalmist writes, "Come and hear, all of you who fear God, and I will tell you what he's done for my soul." I love that phrase right there. I just want to tell you what he's done for my soul. Listen to me, everybody. You have a story. What God has done for you is meant to be shared. It's meaningful. It's transformational. But let me give you the third and final point of this message that I think really helps round out the story that God wants to use. Your story is purposeful. Come on, say it with me. Purposeful. It's full of purpose. My story is full of purpose. We notice this on display in Mark 5, verse 18. Verse 18 through 20, notice what happens here, right? It says, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons. You know what I love? I love this phrase right here, had been. That's when you know transformation has, when you can talk about what had been and it no longer has a stronghold on you. Getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him, Jesus, that he might be with him. And I think that that's a common, understandable feeling, right? Because this individual has all types of layered brokenness and sin, chains breaking, demonic activity. He's got a legion of demons. I can just imagine him saying, hey, Jesus, look, I'm in my right mind. I'm clothed now. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for saving me. I just am going to join you in the boat. I won't have to see anybody from my past. In fact, use me. I'll be your illustration of life change. I just don't ever want to go back to where I was, because then I got to deal with questions, and then people got to see me, and then people got to ask me what happened, and then I'm going to have to share, and I'm going to have to see my parents, and I'm going to have to see my siblings and old friends in high school and all types of people. I'm just going to go jump in with you, Jesus. Verse 19. And Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, look at these two words. Whoa. Go home to your friends, which tells us he had friends. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. In fact, tell them how he has had mercy on you. What a call. What a missionary call to this once demon-possessed man. Jesus, before he says, all right, I want you to go to seminary, and I want you to get everything dialed in. No, Jesus goes, I want you to just go home. I want you to start telling your story. Be an everyday missionary back to where you're from, and I want you to use the content of your story. And what's his story? His story is meaningful. His story is transformational because of Jesus. And now his story is purposeful because he's got a calling on his life. Amen? What happens? He went away. Oh, and he began to proclaim. What does the word proclaim mean? A public declaration, a proclamation in the Decapolis. What's that? The whole region got to hear about it. This guy was on fire. How much Jesus had done for him, and everyone said, oh, snap. Does anybody say, oh, snap? That just came to me right there. I don't know if that was the right fitting word, but everyone marveled. Well, they were marveling at this testimony. Marveling at this story. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you shared your story and somebody across from you marveled at the way God was at work in your life? I think that could happen. I think it would happen. I think it will happen if we live our lives on mission with our stories. Come on, amen? Everyone marveled, not at him, but at what Jesus had done for him. And I'll just be honest with you today. This story is very meaningful and powerful for me personally, because it triggers a memory into my own story. And I can remember, this was about 9.5 years ago. And Nina and I had just moved back to Las Vegas. I was doing a church planting apprenticeship. We were about 6 months into planting Walk Church. We hadn't had a public worship service. We had just kind of landed on a logo. We were working on our language, our mission, our vision, our values. We were developing a core team. We were developing a team that was going to launch this church with us. And I just remember some of those early days being challenging, being long, being very pressure-filled. And I just remember one of those days where I remember waking up and I think I'm going to do something else. I mean, this has been fun, but it hasn't been really fun. I think that God's big enough. Jesus is Lord. He's good. I'm going to do something else. I don't know if I want to deal with all of the weight of starting a new church. And not only that, a lot of these people are challenging and weird. Now look, this is what I thought. It didn't mean that it was right. Is what went through my head, in my mind, in my heart at the time. And honestly, when you're in the first few months of starting a new church, you tend to attract all the people that don't like their church. And so I was realizing a lot of the stuff we were navigating were people that were already disgruntled. And now they were getting disgruntled with me, and we didn't even start yet. And I was like, hold on. And I thought, maybe we should just do something else. And I remember navigating through this, talking to the Lord, and I pulled up to this park, Legacy Park, over on Pecos. I remember pulling up, it was like midday, and I just thought, you know what, I just need to hear from God. I know enough to know that I can't make a decision off the flesh, and I definitely don't want to make a decision off a temporary emotion. I need to hear God. And guess what, church? I was in the Gospel of Mark, and I was coming up on chapter 5. And I remember reading this guy's story in Mark chapter 5, and something about when I hit verses 18 through 20. Come on, look at verses 18 with me on the screen. So he was getting into the boat. The man who begged, had been possessed with demons, begged him that he might be with him. Verse 19, and he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. It was as if, as I read there at the park, that it was as if the Lord pulled me into the Bible and said, Hayden, I've called you to go home to your friends and to your family and to your old school and to your old neighborhood and to the places and spaces that you once walked. And I've called you to go, and I've called you to tell how the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you, and to proclaim what he has called you to do. And I'm calling you to it. And something about that moment that day at the park gave me the confidence to get up again. Come on, amen. To not just get up, but to realize my story is powerful and my story is purposeful. And so I cannot sit in pity, or I can't run from tension. What I have to do is I have to get up with a word from the Word in Mark chapter 5. And God has called my wife and I to do this, and through seasons in and out, we're going to trust him with it. And can I just tell you today, now almost 10 years in, it has been a thrill of a lifetime planting Walk Church and being a part of so many amazing stories like yours and like mine. And you have been incredible in each service. We have seen God do some amazing things. I'm so glad. I'm so grateful. I didn't make a poor decision of weakness and fear, but instead realized through the Word, God had something far better. So I want to encourage you today. Hey, I don't know where the verse is that says God calls you to comfort. I think that he comforts us in our weakness. He comforts us in our challenge, but he doesn't call us to choose that. He calls us to choose him. And along the journey, he does the work. So I love this story in Mark chapter 5 because I read it and I can relate to the tension of wanting to maybe go somewhere else. And Jesus says, no, I want you to go to the place I've called you. And I'm going to use you greatly. As we conclude, what I want to do is close with an application. Because sometimes I think we hear a message and we think, and that was actually pretty good. And then by the time we leave the parking lot, it's hard to even remember. I want us to apply what we're learning. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to consider sharing your story this upcoming week. Because I know what we'll all do is we'll all say, I know for sure I'm going to do that in 2025. For sure. 2025 is my year. And then next thing you know, 2026 will be your year. And can I just tell you, this week, here's some applications for this week. Number one, discover your story. Listen to me. I just told you, everybody here has a story. Whether you're a believer in Jesus or not, listen to me, you have a story. And it's meaningful. You might not be at the transformational yet, but maybe this moment is leading to that. It's purposeful. Here's what I want you to do. When you discover your story, here's what you need. You need three variations. You need a 20-minute story, you need a 2-minute story, and you need a 30-second story. Can I get an amen? The 20-minute story is when you get invited to like a coffee shop, or maybe you invite somebody to dinner at your house, or maybe you go to the original Sunrise Cafe for the blueberry pancakes. That's my thing. I'm always down for that. Listen, you go, and that might be your moment to break out your 20-minute story. Like, say this man right here. He could have been like, you know what, guys? I grew up. I ran into some challenges early on, and then they took me to a mental hospital. They wrapped me up in this thing, and then I broke through the chain, and then I saw this guy staring at me. I beat that guy up, and then I walked over here, and you can get into all the details. That's your 20-minute story, right? But sometimes you don't have 20 minutes. You only have 2 minutes because you're at the checkout at Walmart, and you're coming up next, and somebody saw your shirt, and they said, tell me about that, or they saw your wristband, or maybe you're just friendly, and somebody says, tell me your story. And you only got 2 minutes. Can I just tell you, along this journey, I've worked hard to master my 2-minute testimony. The 2-minute story can carry so much power. Here's what I learned. I can go from, hi, my name's Hayden, I'm from Las Vegas, to my freshman year in college in 20 seconds. I don't need to get bogged down on specific moments. I can just tell you about my journey. And my story is not just meaningful, but I got to get to the transformational. On how I met Jesus, in fact, how he met me, and how he transformed my life radically. I was playing college basketball, and I made basketball a god, and I realized basketball is a great game, but a terrible god. And I had to check in the game and receive Jesus as my God. And after that, I moved back to Las Vegas a few years later, and I started a Bible study. And there was this girl who walked in named Nina, and she was fine. F-O-I-N-E, fine. And she didn't know Jesus like a lot of people. And so I gave her a Bible, and we started going through it. We started connecting. Later, we got married, and then God called us back to Las Vegas to plant a new church in the city and plant churches through our church, and our church is called Walk Church. You know how long that just took me? A minute and a half. But you got some good stuff, right? Hopefully what you heard was meaningful. You know what's meaningful to me? My family, Las Vegas, and basketball. That's meaningful to me. Before we get to transformation, that's meaningful. But then I wanted to take you, but guess where that led me? That led me to transformation in Jesus. But listen, I didn't just get transformed for Jesus and then check in my missionary card. My story has more purpose. He called me back, my wife and I together, in fact, and now we're living our lives on mission in the city. Meaningful, transformational, purposeful. Your story has three essential chapters. And I think a lot of them are still being developed. I think you need the 20-minute. I could take you into details, but you also need the 2-minute, and you also need the 30-second. What's the 30-second? The 30-second is the awesome elevator story. Come on, right? You might get on the elevator. Hey, we're in Las Vegas, right? You might be going somewhere, And you might have an opportunity to share your story and create a moment of invitation, even in a 30-second moment. It could be an Uber driver. It could be a great connection moment that you just have. What do we do here? What do we often do? We oftentimes pull up into the garage and we shut it before we even get out of the car. Sometimes people don't have the attention span for even 2 minutes. You got to master your story. How do you do it? Look in the mirror and tell you your story. Maybe ask your spouse. Just say, hey, spouse, if you're married, say, this is going to be weird, but I'm going to try to tell my story. And can you just cut me off if I go too long? Now, don't get in a fight, all right? But help each other. Maybe it's with your kids. Tell your kids your story. That could be missional. Maybe it's like a friend that you really love and trust that won't judge you and just say, hey, I'm going to try my story out. Let me know how I do. Or maybe you can write it out. 30 second, 2 minute, 20 minute. Develop your story. Let me give you the second application. This is it right here. Share your story. I believe God is too intentional and too close and too clear. If you wake up on Monday morning and you say, all right, Lord, thank you for waking me up. Give me an opportunity this day to share my story. I really think God's going to put you in a position to do it. And hey, listen, if he doesn't, pray the same prayer on Tuesday. And if he doesn't, pray the same prayer on Wednesday. One of these days, God's going to answer your prayer. And guess what? You're going to be ready. You're going to be an everyday missionary. And God's going to use your story. And it's going to help somebody else grow. So discover your story, share your story. And can I just say, there's been so many moments over my lifetime where I've shared my story, and sometimes I think, oh man, I didn't share enough. Or sometimes I think, man, I shared too much. Or sometimes I think, man, I wish I would have said that. We always know what we should have said later, right? Can I just tell you, trust God with that. In fact, Jesus even tells in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, when you get to a moment and you're on the stand and you got to share, don't even worry about it. I'll give you the words to say. Sometimes I'll share and I'll think, I don't even remember anything I shared. I wonder if it was just the Lord sharing through me. What if God wants to communicate through you by using your story? Amen? It's powerful. At the gym, at the coffee shop, at the dinner table, on a walk, in the locker room, in the break room, at the coffee shop. I don't know where it looks like for you, but I believe that this is a great space in Las Vegas and a great place to use your story to make a difference in a very real way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our time in it. And God, we ask you now for you to move in this room in this time of response. Lord, I pray that everybody in here today would take their story seriously, because you do, God, and you want to use each and every one of us. And today, if you don't know if you're a Christian, or if you maybe the transformation hasn't happened in your life, right now I want to invite you to pray. And start right now. Just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. And I'm ready now to put my faith in you. I repent of my sins. And I trust you as my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm ready to walk in you. Use my story for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.